If you turn with me this morning to your Bibles, John chapter 20. Our God is real, folks. Amen. Our God is real. People think this stuff is a fairy tale today, but they just need to know your God. We're going to read John 20, verse 1 through 10. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth to, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre, so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciples, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own homes. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord God, for what we have felt here this morning. God, I know right now, Lord, that you want to speak to hearts here. God, you've touched every heart, and I pray, God, that you'll speak, Lord. You'll anoint your servant, Lord. You'll speak through me, Lord God, to your people. Hallelujah. Let your will be done in the name of Jesus. Give him a hand clap of praise as you're seated. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you this morning. Resurrection, you must see to celebrate. Resurrection, you must see to celebrate. And what I'm saying there is, folks, you have to understand it to really be able to celebrate. There's a lot of people in bed this morning because they don't see and they don't understand. Therefore, they cannot celebrate. Amen. The Battle of Waterloo, of which hung the destinies of Europe, the English people were anxiously awaiting news of the result. And their only means of communication was a system of signal lights flashed across the English Channel. The fog became so dense that only part of the message was made out, and it read, Wellington defeated. Gloom settled upon the English, but imagine their joy when the fog lifted and they received the whole message, which said, Wellington defeated the enemy. You see, at first they said, Wellington defeated. But when they saw the whole thing, the whole message, Wellington defeated the enemy. And that's what I want you to understand here this morning, folks, that we must understand, we must see the full message that Jesus Christ has. Hallelujah. You see, when Jesus was crucified, his disciples were so covered by the fog, so covered by the doubt, that they saw one meaning to this sad event, Christ defeated. All hope was gone. Jesus was dead. But Resurrection Day brought the fact of the risen Lord. And the message read, once the fog was lifted, Christ defeated the devil. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. You have to see the whole message and understand it. You see, by dying, Christ conquered the grave. By ascending, Christ made possible our ascension even to heaven. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It is said that the best news the world has ever had came from a graveyard near Jerusalem. Amen. You read, folks, in John chapter 20, we find that the story of the resurrection, yet when you investigate further, you discover it is also the story of three people and how each of them viewed the resurrection. You see, Jesus had been in the grave for 3 days, and after they had taken him off of the cross, they wrapped his body in fine linen grave clothes, and they laid him in Joseph's new tomb. It was now Sunday, the first day of the week, when Mary Magdalene showed up at the sepulcher. And when she got there, the stone had been taken away, and Jesus' body was not in the tomb. She ran back and she found Peter, she found John and said, they have taken his body and we don't know where they have laid him. And both Peter and John began to run to the grave, and John got there first and looked in. About that time, Peter pressed his way through the entrance and John soon followed. And there they were, the linen grave clothes were still there where they had been. And where they had laid Jesus' body to rest. But the piece that had been around his head was in a separate place by itself. Now, isn't it interesting to you folks that though Mary and Peter and John witnessed the same empty tomb, their response were drastically different. You see, Mary saw and believed his body was stolen. John saw and believed that he had risen. The scripture seems to indicate that Peter saw and didn't know what he believed. Isn't it amazing how people can look at the same thing and see something totally different? That's why police officers at an accident or whatever it may be they go to, they get different statements from different witnesses. But it's amazing how people will look at the same thing and give you a totally different perspective. An artist and a preacher and a cowboy stood at the edge of the Grand Canyon. The artist said, "What a beautiful scene to paint." The preacher, "What a wonderful example of the handiwork of God." And the cowboy says, "What a terrible place to lose a cow." See, different perspectives. Folks, what do you see when you look at an empty tomb? Amen. Maybe a conspiracy by Jesus' disciples to protect his claim. Maybe just another story in the Bible that may or may not be true. Maybe you don't see anything at all and it means nothing to you. I want to talk to you about what I see when I look at the resurrection. You see, I see a God that is alive. He is not dead. He is yet alive. Amen. Hallelujah. There's an empty tomb in Jerusalem to prove it. I don't know about your God, but I want you to know this morning, folks, that Buddha died and they buried him and he's still dead. Amen. Hare Krishna died, they buried him, and he's still dead. Jesus died, they buried him, and on the third day, Mary found an empty tomb. Hallelujah. That's my God. It's all in how you look at it today. John 2, verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Amen. Revelations 1, 18, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." The old song says, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what men say. I feel his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." You see, because Jesus lives, folks, he becomes my counselor. Because Jesus lives, he is my advocate. Because Jesus lives, he is my defense attorney. Because Jesus lives, he is my healer. Because he lives, he is my refuge. He is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my King. He's my Rock. He's my Counselor, my Father, my Keeper, my Master, my Teacher, my Intercessor. You have a need today? He's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25. "There, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he has ever lived to make intercession for them. You see, another thing I see when I look at the resurrection, I see an enemy that is defeated. Amen. There's this enemy, I want you to understand today, folks, the enemy of your soul is real. Amen. He's real, all right, folks. He knows in the sepulcher by the names. He is known in the scripture, I'm sorry, by many names. He is known as the dragon, the Satan, the serpent, adversary, the devil, the wicked one. And though, folks, through his hatred toward God, I want you to understand, sin came as he attacked God's very creation. In Romans 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, the devil thought he won at Calvary. The cross was his ultimate victory. He didn't know that in 3 days, Jesus was coming out of the, with the keys in his hand. Amen. Jesus was dead for 3 days, folks. What did he do from Friday to Sunday? Well, he invaded the enemy's territory. Amen. He overcame the enemy's power. He destroyed the enemy's weapons. Hallelujah. And he spoiled the enemy's house. Colossians 2, verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over all in it. Hallelujah. He triumphed. Hallelujah. Resurrection says the devil is defeated. In 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I see, when I look at the resurrection, I see a gospel that is powerful gospel. Colossians chapter 2 verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. You see, the gospel, folks, the gospel is more than a story about his death and his burial. It is about his resurrection. You see, without the resurrection, none of the other matters. Hallelujah. Amen. It's more than about his death. It is more than about his burial. It is about the resurrection. And this thing is more, folks, than just repentance and baptism. It is about the power, amen, that his great spirit brings. Amen. When we receive the spirit in our life. Now, Paul said, when we were baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. And we are buried with him in baptism. Now, and as Christ was raised from the dead, are we raised to walk in newness of life. You can read that in Romans 6. You see, when I look at the resurrection, I see a gospel that has power to change lives. Is there anybody different here today when you met Jesus Christ? Has he changed you? Are you better for it? When I look at the resurrection, I see a gospel that has power to change lives. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's why people can raise their hand and say, I'm different today. Hallelujah. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I want to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. Hallelujah. Folks, that's what the Holy Ghost can change, can do for you. It gives you power you'll never have that you never had before. It gives you power to overcome those sinful habits that you were into. It gives you power to overcome that flesh, amen, that wants to destroy us, amen. It gives you power to overcome the world. The resurrection Life is an overcoming life. You see, that's why we need him every day. That's why we call on the name of the Lord. It's not to be saved, it's to stay saved. Amen? We call on his name to stay saved. Hallelujah. I need him more than I did yesterday. Every day I need him more. Hallelujah. Every day I got to walk with him. Amen. I need you, God. I want him to know I need you today. I'm going to need you tomorrow. I'm going to need you the next day. The resurrection is helping in life, to overcome life. When I see the resurrection, I see a hope that's sure. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? In 1 Peter 1:21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. In God. See, we have a hope, folks, because he was raised. We're going to be raised. Amen. Hallelujah, folks. Listen about it. If it wasn't for the resurrection, amen, we would look at life as so many people do, and they just go ahead and commit suicide because they don't see anything. They don't have a hope. Hey, look, I'm going to go through this tomorrow. I can't stand living like this. And I'll go through it the next day. Why even live? But I'm telling you, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have a hope that we're going to be raised with him someday. We have a hope. 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits afterward. They that are Christ at his coming. First fruits to the very first harvest or reaping, amen, of a crop. The first fruits is an indication of what is to follow. Amen. The point is, folks, that Jesus' resurrection is the first of many more, hallelujah, that are going to be raised with the trump sounds, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you have a hope? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Praise the Lord. His resurrection, it guarantees our resurrection. You see, I have hope in Jesus. I have hope that when things are not well, praise the Lord, I am glad that I can tell I have hope in Jesus. I have hope. Hallelujah. You can celebrate when you understand what the resurrection is all about. Amen. You can shout about it. Hallelujah. Hey, I have hope. Jesus raised from the dead. I have hope. That's something to celebrate. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and with the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. How do you comfort if it's not hope? Amen. He says, comfort each other. Amen. Hey, listen, you may have it rough right now, but there's going to be a greater day. There's going to be an eternity we're going to spend with Jesus Christ. Why celebrate? Well, it's Resurrection Day. Jesus is alive. Amen. Hope is alive because of Jesus Christ. And hope, folks, is the reason that we celebrate, praise the Lord. Not just today, but every day, praise the Lord. Why? Because we know that because Jesus lives, we can live also. His life His ministry, His death, His burial, His resurrection provides hope for today as well as for eternity. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad today that you know Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you believe in His burial, death, resurrection? How can we help but celebrate, folks? You see, if you listen to the news on the radio or read the paper, you will quickly realize that the vital element missing from the picture in today's world is hope. It's always doom and gloom. It never ends. Amen. It just keeps coming. They just keep piling it on. Doom and gloom. You see, our world is plagued with terror. With wars and threats of wars everywhere. Bombs and exploding buses and cars and motels everywhere. There's a lot of people. There's trouble. There's problems. Our own country is searching for biological weapons and suitcases and nuclear devices, and people are afraid to get on airplanes because it might be hijacked or suicide bombers. Young people of this generation are reflecting a need in their lives for hope. Suicide, especially among the youth, is rampant. Why? They feel they have nothing to live for. Many young people were raised with no hope. God was removed from schools. Creation is taught to them. It is taught as a myth. God, they were told, was dead. Hope became an illusion. But there's a new day. Amen. Because I want you to know Jesus is alive, young people. Jesus is real. Hallelujah. You have something to live for. You do have a hope in Him. Hallelujah. I want you to know, I don't care what the schools tell you. I don't care what culture tells you. It's time to reverse this message today. God is alive. Amen. Very much so alive. When the body of Jesus died on the cross, the Spirit of God within Him continued to live on. Hope is very much alive in our present day world, folks. Life is worth living. There is meaning to life. Come on, worship Him right now. Hallelujah. God's Word is just as real today and true today as it was when it was first recorded. Amen. The Word of God is alive. Jesus said in John chapter 6 verse 63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hope is alive. Hope is well. Hallelujah today, folks. Life is available to us. There is a reason to live. There is a reason to get up in the morning and put a smile on your face. There is a reason. There is reason to live. Because He lives, we can live also. Hope is the fiber of an existence. Without it, there is no reason to live. There is no reason if you don't have hope. And that is why, folks, amen, it's so important for us to live this life every day, to let your mission field know every day, I got a step today because He lives. I have a joy today because He lives. Hallelujah. I have peace in my heart because He lives. Let everybody know there is a reason to live. There is a reason to get up every morning. Put a smile on your face. Tell your neighbors about it. Tell your coworkers about it. Today, tell your family about it. Tell them there is a hope. Hope is alive because Jesus rose from the dead. You see, if He didn't, we couldn't. But He did, so we can. Hallelujah. He is often referred to as the first fruits. There really is life after death. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, hope went with Him. Amen. His closest disciples were dejected and without hope for a real future. And Jesus, to them, had become everything. And many of them had given up their careers and followed Him. And they all scattered and fled when He was arrested. And Jesus had told them But it didn't sink in. You see, they didn't see it. You can't celebrate until you can see it. Amen. Their hope was in Jesus. They had the right direction. Amen. They just didn't fully understand everything. They believed he was the Messiah. They expected him to come on that white horse with the army and conquer the Romans. They expected him to become great politically. Their hope was in the right place, but their understanding was incorrect. Jesus came to give his life as a sacrifice. It was his blood, folks, that would bring the forgiveness of sins and pave the way for eternal happiness. Praise the Lord. Jesus tried to explain, but the disciples just didn't understand until later. Jesus could not be kept down very long. Only 3 days in the tomb. And Jesus said in John chapter 2 verse 19, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. You see, the Old Testament story of Jonah was the prophecy of the time in the belly of the earth. The power of the resurrection was the mystery to the guards who watched the tomb. You see, they did not know what happened, but knew it was not a man that had taken the body. They told the chief priest what happened. And the chief priest bribed them to say that the disciples had stolen the body while they slept. You see, Jesus did not keep his resurrection a secret. He appeared to Mary, who was crying. He appeared to the other woman. He appeared to the two disciples. He appeared to 10 disciples along with Thomas. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to them at the Sea of Galilee. He appeared to the 11 disciples. He appeared to the 500 brethren. In 40 days, he spent time with these people. So what does this mean in the year 2021? It means he's alive today. Hallelujah. If he is alive, then we have hope, folks. But the fact that he rose from the dead means that there is life after death. We can have a part in this resurrection. Why? How? By becoming a follower of Jesus Christ and being born again of the Spirit and the water, as Jesus told Nicodemus. The joy of the disciples felt, we can experience today. You say, Pastor, how do we get the hope in our lives? You need to let the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Amen. Follow the directions that Peter said in Acts chapter 2 verse 38. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That is your hope. Amen. That's what you need to get you through the door. Amen. And follow what Jesus has taught. Let the Spirit of God do a work in your life. Amen. Then you can celebrate. Hallelujah. We all like to celebrate. I'm telling you, the Word of God, if you obey the Scripture, will change your life. You see, I see a promise that's beyond description. The empty tomb says this. He's gone to prepare a place for those that love him. Jesus said in John 14 verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Amen. What's it like? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Hallelujah. You say, well, it sounds like pie in the sky. Hey, it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. Amen. John tried his best to describe it. He said the city lies four square, 12 foundations, one for each of the apostles, 12 gates, three on each side of the city. There were walls of jasper. There's gates of pearls. There's streets of gold. Nothing here compares to it. A rich man about to die was allowed to take one suitcase to eternity, so he packed it full of gold. At the gate, the angel examined the contents, and when he opened the bag and saw the gold, he said, why did you bring pavement? Come on, folks. It's so precious down here to us, but up there, we're going to walk on streets of gold. It's our pavement. Come on. John said, the only way I can describe it is by telling you what is not there. You see, in heaven, folks, there's no more pain. In heaven, folks, there's no more sorrow. In heaven, there's no more sickness. In heaven, guess what? There's no more death. In heaven, there's no more tears. There's no more crying. There's no more hunger. Hallelujah. There's no thirst. There's no sea. There's no sun. There's no moon. There's no night. There's no sin. The deceiver. No condemnation. No separation. And guess what? There's no time. What a reunion day. We'll never have to say goodbye again. Amen. In Romans chapter 8 verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Hallelujah. The scripture says, look, if you don't have the spirit, you're none of his. And let me tell you today, don't just guess that you have it. You got to know it. That car you're driving out there, you know it's yours because you have a title that has your name on it. You better know how you know you have the spirit. The Bible says that when you receive the Holy Ghost, that the Spirit will give you the utterance or the ability to speak in another language. That's how you know you have God's Spirit in you. Let's stand in this house today, folks. Come on. Listen, I hope you understand the resurrection better than you've ever did. But in understanding it, you need to know that you need it. You need to know that you need to share in what God wants for us. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He took 12 men and he trained them. He called them disciples. A disciple is a disciplined learner. He said, listen here, boys, this is how I want you to operate the church. And he told old Peter, he said, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And he said, listen, guys, I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want you to tarry there till you be endued with power from on high. You know, Peter, he was willing to accept that power because Peter already found out that he denied the Lord. He gave in to peer pressure. And he denied his Lord. He said, I don't know him. Oh, you're one of him. I don't know him. They came again and said, you're one of him. No, I don't. The third time, you know what he did? He swore. So Peter swore so he could prove to them he is not one of Jesus. So listen, if you think swearing's okay, look what Peter did. He swore to prove that he wasn't one of them. The Bible says when Peter heard that cock crow, he went out and wept bitterly. There was a sorrowful repentance. And the Lord loved him so much later on when he came and visited him. He goes, where's Peter? Because he wanted to use Peter to start that new church that God created. You see, Peter stood up on that day of Pentecost. And he told him, you guys have crucified the Messiah. The Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. That means they were feeling conviction. What must we do to be saved? Peter said, you need to repent of your sins. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. That's the name that died. And you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I want to open this altar today. Whatever need you have in this house today, if you need healing, if you need God to touch you because you're depressed, I'm telling you, you need the Holy Ghost today. Come on, folks, this altar, saints of God, bring somebody with you. Come to this altar today. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Say, God, I thank you, Lord, that you died on the cross. But God, I thank you that you gave me hope in resurrection.